I'm just being a little funny. I don't have any funny in my message tonight, so that was it. That's all. We just got scripture and Jesus. That's all we got there this evening. No, but it's been great to hear the testimonies tonight. That video, the story about Muhammad, I mean, amazing. God's doing crazy, amazing things in the world. And then Leah, like, just really exciting to hear what you're going to go and do. And some of you guys have been asking a little bit about what my family and I are up to, and it dovetails really well with what we've already been hearing tonight, and what Gord and the RAN team and the IM team are all about in terms of you guys answering a call to go and to share the gospel with people, and leveraging your interest and your call to vocation to actually share Jesus in the world. It is getting easier and easier and easier with globalization and the economy of the world to do that. And so us as a family, that's what we're doing right now. Some of you have been asking a little bit about that. My wife works for a professional services firm, and that gave us the opportunity to head to India. She took on a secondment there. And we are there, and in part we're there, in terms of her career, but really, we're a family that senses the call of God, and it expresses itself differently for different members of our family and how that outworks. But we're in India, we're engaged with the church, we're sharing the gospel all the time with people, and we've been able to do that through the vehicle of her career and work. So I just want to echo what's already been said through video and testimony, etc. Mission, in terms of global missions, is no longer necessarily this enormous chasm to cross. Though you got to count the cost, and of course it's difficult and it's challenging, but we are able to share Jesus with people in easy ways, in simple ways, and just go planting ourselves among them, doing life with folks, building relationship. And so I'm just really excited to hear about these different stories tonight, and they really, I hope, will be illustrative of what we're going to talk about in terms of calling. And this is where we sort of, wrap up some of our discussion. We've got tomorrow a little bit, but really in terms of dignity, we've looked at it from a personal perspective. We've looked at it from sort of our interaction with the church and a group perspective. And now tonight, I really want to challenge us with our calling and how dignity plays into that. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time, just a little bit of time, and then we're going to get to some opportunity to worship and to pray for each other and for ministry and for the Holy Spirit to move in your life. And that's really what we want to get to. So just one scripture tonight, 2 Samuel 21:10. We've read it a number of times, but just one scripture, one verse really tonight, and it says this: "Then Rizpah, daughter of Ai, the mother of two of the men, spread burlap on a rock and stayed there the entire harvest season. The entire harvest season, and she prevented the scavenger birds from tearing at the bodies during the day and stopped the wild animals from eating them at night." Holy Spirit, we just invite you again to speak to us. You're here. You're moving among us, and you've already been moving in our hearts in terms of generosity and worship, Lord, and calling. And God, I just pray that you continue to move here by your Spirit tonight. God, in these few short moments where we consider this passage of Scripture and what it means to us, would you illuminate it to us, God? Right where we are, right where we're at in our journey, in our story, God, would you speak? Lord, we're hungry to hear from you. We're hungry to sense you, to know your presence this evening. So just move, we pray. You've got our attention tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have you ever felt unqualified? Yes, look at that. I thought James Perot was the only one that, you know, felt that way. But I guess, you know, we all have those days. And I certainly do, man, like unqualified for sure. All the time. And it's interesting because that sense of unqualification, without getting down a bunny trail tonight, but that sense of unqualification really is an opportunity. It's really an opportunity. Even in like the natural day-to-day life sense, in our education or in our workplace, when we don't know how to do something, it's actually an opportunity to learn, to grow as a person, right? But the same is true for us in a spiritual sense. And I guess the sidebar is James gets lots of time to learn and grow as a person. Sorry, James, I just had to, you know, take some time to... I love you, man. I really do. I love you. Yeah, okay. All right. We got it. We're good. But the truth is, you hear what I'm saying, whenever we encounter these ideas of unqualification in our own life, opportunity to grow, an opportunity to learn, and the same is true for us spiritually. Sometimes we feel maybe we don't measure up. Maybe as we're staring down an amazing calling like Leah, and I don't presume to tell her story, but as we look at these opportunities or the businessman in the video that shared with Muhammad, I wonder how he felt before he launched off into what he was doing. You see, our faith is meant to be about risk-taking, and I don't know anybody who's a risk-taker that feels like it's all sewn up and it's all ready to roll and it's all good to go. There's a sense of uncertainty. There's a sense of not being qualified if you boil it down to a personal level, and that is part of the adventure of serving Jesus. Sometimes we look at these things as negatives, but they're really opportunities, being unqualified. Have you ever felt that way? You see, calling doesn't mean qualified. You're not called to do something and already know how to do it all. I mean, that's just not how it works. I don't believe it. And it's not an adventure and it's not really exciting. It's just something we do. But when we get a call and we just don't know how we're going to make it happen or how it's going to come together or how we're going to get the resources together or how we're going to be able to meet that need, I mean, that's when God really comes in and does something crazy and awesome and miraculous. And I think for us sometimes here in our North American life, we at times are so good at doing things on our own. We get sick, we go to the doctor. We need something to eat, we go buy it, or we have other opportunities, food banks, etc. Like, our needs are met over and over and over again. And I'm sure you guys have heard the statistics. There was a new study that came out recently. For so long, it was talked about that in North America, if you were born into North America, then you were in the top 5% of the world's richest. And now it's actually the top 3%. I mean, we're so wealthy. Excuse me, it's growing the other way. We're top 8%. It's growing more and more and more. In North America, you're born here. I mean, you're set for life. And meanwhile, the world's population struggles. And so we get insulated at times, I think, and we don't leave room for the miraculous. And tonight, I'm believing for the miraculous. I'm believing for the Holy Spirit to come and to move in your life and to wreck you for Jesus. You see, Acts 2 isn't about just the tongue talking and the gifts and all of that stuff. Acts 2 is about empowerment for mission. And that's really what we believe in terms of Pentecostal theology, small p, Pentecostal, Holy Spirit-filled people, is in mission and being missional and stretching ourselves so far that if God doesn't come through, we're toast. So unqualifications really becomes the qualification to answer the call of God. Just like we've been talking about dignity and how to maintain that spiritual dignity actually means being undignified or being willing to be undignified, looking silly. And so this passage of scripture again tonight that we're returning to, the story of Rizpah, gives us some thoughts, gives us some ideas, some parameters to put on this whole idea of answering God's call. Calling means yielding yourself to God and His Spirit. Really, when you look at the Great Commission, which is the call for all of us, and really when we talk about personal calling, it's really how does that Great Commission sort of express itself in our lives. But when you look at the Great Commission, and you can do this on your own time, and look at the Gospels and see, and look at Jesus' last words to us about reaching the lost, really what we see there is there's an action to it where we go and we preach, and then there's another action where we make disciples. But the transformation part, the thing that really needs to happen in the middle, is all on God. And sometimes I think that's a stumbling block for us. As God is calling you and me to minister, we feel this pressure of, you know, I got to save people. Well, I got news for you. You can't. You can't. All you can do is go and tell. And as they respond, disciple. And I don't know about you, but for me in my journey, in my walk, that is a pressure-relieving truth. I can't save anybody, but I can go. I can give of myself. And what we're called to do in that is actually offer them the dignity of an opportunity to respond to Jesus. And that's what we want to talk about, taking dignity to the world. What's more dignifying than having a choice to choose? We can't make people choose Jesus, but we can give them the opportunity to. Really offering the dignity of a chance to make a decision is what we're all about, around the world, at home, on campus, wherever we are. And this passage in Samuel helps us to understand how we can do that. So I just want to give you 3 points, 3 characteristics that will help us on this journey of answering the call of God. The first one is this: Rizpah was not qualified. Rizpah was not qualified. If you do some study of history and you take a look at her life as it would have been, as best we understand, the life of a concubine in that time, which really meant you were just there for the king and whatever he wanted, however he wanted, abused. We won't go down that path, but history tells us that was an awful life to live. Awful. Maybe even gruesome. Horrible. You had no voice. The Bible says this, then Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the mother of the two men, spread burlap and stayed there the entire season. And she prevented the scavenger birds from tearing at the bodies. Rizpah was not qualified to do that. Well, what do you mean, Paul? Well, I mean, just think about this for a second. If somebody was going to go guard the bodies, you know, who would it have been? Surely it wouldn't have been, and you'll understand, I'm speaking in the historical context tonight, but surely it wouldn't have been a woman in that day and age. And if somebody was sent out to guard graves and do this sort of thing, probably, likely, most likely a soldier, somebody of the palace guard, somebody who had some training in defense, not a concubine who was actually going to try and defend this flesh. And it gets a little gross, but really, guys, like this fresh flesh that animals would love to tear at, and you're sending out a little lady to do that. Again, talking in terms of the historical context, like it would never have happened. Unqualified. Unqualified. Qualification or unqualification, sometimes to me, I think of weakness and I think of strength. And when I think of weakness, the scripture in my mind comes, Romans 8:26, where Paul talks about knowing the strength of the Spirit in our weakness. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays through us with groanings that can't be expressed in words. You know, I love that kind of weirdness and craziness of God. Groanings that can't express themselves in words. And I know that might be a little bit out there, and we can't just, you know, perfectly package that into something that makes logical sense. But that is the power of the Spirit. That's the kind of power that we need when we launch out into North Africa, not knowing the language, not knowing where we might connect with folks, not knowing about our safety. We need God to come through. We need the miraculous power of the Spirit. And that's what He comes to us with in our weakness. Again, that's what Acts 2 is about, that Pentecostal moment where the Spirit fell and the church was born, and it was about Peter standing and preaching and people coming to know Christ, somebody who was unqualified, Peter not qualified to do what he did, but qualified by Jesus and said, you're going to build the church, and there he did it. Spirit came upon him, he preached, 3,000 were saved. That was the miracle. That was the miracle. And why not you tonight? Why not you? See, when we can get over the question of qualifications, I don't know why I'm shouting. I'm like yelling at you guys. Let's just, you know, we'll tone it down a little bit. When you get over the question of qualifications, you'll be well positioned to understand your identity. Rizpah knew who she was. Rizpah knew who she was. And if you read that passage, you'll see that the Bible refers to her as a concubine, a prostitute, or living that life of really a sex slave was what her life was like. So the Bible refers to her in that, but then the Bible also says the mother. I don't know, like, I'm sure some of you have angered your mom, you know, at different times. Right? You've probably seen an angry mom, right? Hello, have you seen your mom and been ever angry at you? Yeah, I'm sure she has, right? Yeah, absolutely. And then I'm sure you've seen your mother defend you. And they kind of look similar. Right? Rizpah knew who she was. She was a mom. And those were her boys. And she was going to go out there and defend them. You see, this question of identity, once we get over the qualification piece and say, I don't care if I'm qualified or not, God has a call on my life, and I'm going to answer that call. Then we get to this place of dealing with identity. And Rizpah knew who she was. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you remind yourself of who you are in Christ? I think of 2 Corinthians 5. It says this, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Verse 19, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. So we are Christ's ambassadors. That's part of our identity. We are Christ's ambassadors. It's part of our identity. 1 Peter 2, another great scripture when it comes to what is our identity in Christ. Coming into the New Testament, Jesus has come and he's changed our lives. Friday night, we made things right with him. Who are we in Christ? And Peter says this, 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are a group of royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his amazing light. Once you had no identity as people, now you are God's people. I mean, just let the truth of that scripture sink in. Once you had no identity as a people, and now you are God's royal priesthood. You see, what happens in the New Testament is we had this system of worship. We had this system of coming to God in the Old Testament, and Jesus did away with that, fulfilling the Old Testament law, fulfilling that. He made a new way, which means you and I, we can come right in to God's presence tonight. Right into God's presence. You don't need anybody between you and God. You can come right into God's presence and get a word for yourself. You can come right into God's presence and be encouraged and sense him and know him. We're God's people. We're his ambassadors. I don't know. Maybe you have had some different identities thrown at you over the years. Maybe when you were young, you know, we do come to understand from psychology, even though it's a soft science. We do know that in our adult life, as you guys are into that now, you are shaped so much by your experiences when you were younger. It's just true. And these things stick with us. Maybe you were identified in a certain way when you were younger. Maybe you had certain experiences, maybe abusive ones, maybe difficult ones, maybe things that if you shared, you feel like nobody would really understand, but they hurt or they were challenging, and that has caused you to behave in a certain way or pick up a certain kind of identity. Those things are hard to let go of, but Jesus is here to help us. Tonight, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to help you with your identity in Christ so you can fulfill the call of God on your life. I struggled with identity a lot. I talked to you about being bullied, and if anybody is struggling in those sorts of things, man, I am here for you. I love you guys. I'm here for you. I'd love to talk with you and journey with you. You have an identity in Christ, and he loves who you are. And I believe tonight is just the opportunity for a new beginning, to let those things go. So when you have sorted out qualifications, you get to that place of identity and working through that. When you understand who you are in Christ, I believe the result is determination. That no matter what comes your way, you know who you are in Christ, and there is a call, and you are going to fulfill that call. We see that here in this passage. Rizpah remained. Rizpah remained. She was determined. Verse 10 says that Rizpah stayed there the entire harvest season. Some translations use that word remained. She stayed there. And as I think and reflect on that, scriptures that come to my heart, there might be other ones that come to you, scriptures that come to my heart are ones like Philippians 3:10, where Paul says this, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Let's, you know, just hitting the pause button for him for a moment. Suffer with him? Man, like I learned all these days that this is about the good life, you know, accept Jesus, everything's good. You know, it's good, but I want to be real. I love you guys. Telling you the truth is that answering the call of God is about suffering. It really is. No way around it. But suffering will give rise to significance, spiritual significance. You may not always be successful by the world's standards, but you will be spiritually significant. There's suffering to be had. So Paul says, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say I've already achieved these things or that I've reached perfection, but I press on. A determination. I press on for the perfection which Christ first possessed me. He goes on to say, forgetting the past, letting go of those old identities that I might have had, those old experiences, those old tendencies, those old habits, I lay hold of what lies ahead and I look forward to it. I press on to reach the end of the race. Determination to receive the heavenly prize through Christ Jesus and to what he is calling us. Determination. Figuring out that you're qualified, understanding your identity, and letting it build a determination in your heart. For some of you in the room tonight, you're already almost there. You're at this place of determination. I don't know, and you're still not sure, and you're still a little uncertain. I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to solidify some things for you tonight in this room. I believe there's many of you that have calls on your life, and you've got dreams. Some of you fourth-year students, you know what it is that you're called to do, but you're wavering. And I believe tonight that the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of your identity, that he's going to remind you of your qualifications in him, and he is going to solidify a determination in your spirit to answer that call. For my own self, when I understood the qualifications of Christ that were really unqualifications, you don't need qualifications. If you feel called to ministry, you know, some of the most beautiful things we've, you know, seen and experienced this weekend, you know, aren't necessarily from people with 1,000 degrees or whatever. They're people who submit their life to Jesus. You know, degrees and study and all that stuff is important, but it comes after. I love the apprenticeship program that UCM runs. It's brilliant and beautiful and amazing, and it's tough. But you don't have to have an MDiv to start to share Jesus with people. I'm just saying, like, you don't. I was talking to somebody today at dinner, and we were chatting just about this idea of ministry and how we can leverage what's happening in missions. We've already talked about it. We can leverage things like being a nurse or a doctor or, you know, some other career path for the kingdom of God. And I'm all about global missions, and some of you are called to do that, but you don't need to go on global missions to do that. You can do that right here. You don't have to be a pastor vocationally to be in ministry. You all are called. You're all called right where you're at to be salt and light, offering people dignity through sharing Jesus with them. There's an unwavering determination that God wants to give you and me tonight. Just as we start to kind of land this plane and segue into some time of ministry and reflection and prayer, and I hope just craziness of the Holy Spirit. Just want to challenge you with this one last thought out of this passage, which is about success and significance. In this passage, you'll see, if you read it again, the Bible refers to Merib. And says that two sons of Rizpah and five sons, I think it is, of Merib were taken by David, and then they were the ones that were executed by the Gibeonites. And some translations translate the name there, not Merib, but Michal. And if you know a little bit about David's story, you know that Michal was his wife. And if you dig into this passage and read some history and read some commentary on it, you'll find out this, and it's fascinating to me. This is a fascinating piece of the story, is that there's a little bit of disagreement about who this might have been. So if we take some time just to give some mental assent to the idea it might have been Michal, there's some interesting implications, which are this, that she didn't go out there to defend her boys. She didn't. Yet Rizpah did. She's out there defending these bodies, acting undignified. And it's so, like, awesome that we sang that song, I'll become even more. Yeah, you know, like, the whole thing is funny to me a little bit. I love that song. But it's funny because when you look at the story of Michal, and if you go back to 2 Samuel 6, when the presence of God was coming back into Israel, and David brought it back, if you know a little bit of your church history, he brought the Ark of the Covenant, which was God's presence, literally, and he brought it back into Israel. And when he did it properly and when he did it the right way, I mean, everybody was just going crazy. And worshiping and loving on God, and his presence was there. And David got a little crazy and was just dancing and removed his outer robes, etc. And you know who was staring down from the palace at this scene was Michal, his wife. And then she calls David out on it and says, you know what, you're undignified. The king was awfully undignified, and he's the response where that song comes from. Well, I'll be even more undignified than this. And, this is the fascinating thing that I want to leave you with is that, if you choose, you got a choice tonight. Life is about choices. You can either choose to be a little bit more like Michael, and you will enjoy the success that the world offers, or you can choose to be like Rizpah, a little bit undignified so that you can maintain your spiritual dignity, and then I promise you, you'll have suffering in life, but you will have spiritual significance. It's your choice tonight. It's your choice. Sometimes money comes, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we enjoy the successes the world offers to us, but sometimes we don't. And I can tell you, you have an opportunity tonight to calibrate yourself to the kingdom of God and spiritual significance, or to the way of Michael, which may lead you to some success in the palace and notoriety, and you might even be okay spiritually, but man, you'll be longing. I encourage you tonight, let's be like Rizpah. Let's live in that sort of unqualified state, finding nothing good, like Paul writes, about nothing good in ourselves, but everything good in God, and allow him to use us. Amen? Would you just stand with me tonight, and just I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And I just, we'll invite the band to come on back and hang out. And Ephesians 3, just as your heads are bowed and eyes closed, says this: because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. This is Paul talking to the Ephesians. He says, I'm suffering for you, and you should feel honored. Rizpah suffered. In the natural, she was undignified, but spiritually significant. And it's interesting, though she wasn't heading out there to end a famine, her actions caused God to end a 3-year famine. You see, you just never know the decisions you make in this room tonight, how you choose to calibrate your life, is going to influence a whole lot of others. How you choose to calibrate yourself tonight, more towards living like Michael or living like Rizpah, which foreshadows us into living like Christ and being Christ-like, how you choose to calibrate your life tonight has massive implications. Things that we can only imagine and dream about. Holy Spirit, come just in this simple moment. Give us your perspective. Give us a glimpse of the amazing tapestry that you're weaving, of the story that you're writing with our lives. God, inspire us. Help us to see beyond the day-to-day, and help us get a picture of the miracles and the amazing things that you're doing all over this world and how we have a part to play in that. Come, Holy Spirit.
You said that you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall inside.